Welcome to Autogrill First Half 2013 Financial Results Presentation.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our first half 2013 call. As usual, I have to draw your attention to the disclaimer on page two. All numbers we will be referring to are on a constant exchange rate basis, unless we say otherwise. Now, let me hand over to Gian Mario Tondato, our Group CEO, and Alberto De Vecchi, our Group CFO, who will take you through our results in detail. We will take your question at the end. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm Gian Mario Tondato. I'm pleased to comment this quarter, which is a clear improvement over the first quarter. We see a radical better performance than the first three months, and so we are closing really a decent first half. Just to remember how we started this year, you know, only the U.S. did well in the first three months, delivering their numbers. The rest of the business, Europe and Italy, and of course, I'm relating to the F&B business, were really behind. Italy, just to give you a number, lost in the first quarter 10 million of EBITDA. The second quarter is gathering really momentum in the F&B and is making up for the losses. The U.S. is continuing to produce results with a noticeable growth in EBITDA from $75 million-$80 million. It is increasing also the margins, confirming the trend that we saw in the first quarter. Italy is almost a miracle, keeping the margin flat in a declining traffic and sales environment. Finally, the rest of Europe is improving the EBITDA as well. Let me tell you what I'm pleased with. I'm pleased with the U.S. because the airports in the U.S. grew, the airport channel grew by something close to 9%, with a traffic up with less than 2%. We keep increasing the number of transactions and the average ticket as planned, and we delivered a further 50 basis point improvement in margin in the North American business. Italy. Italy, compared to the fall in sales of 80 million euros, lost less than 1 million in EBITDA and kept the margin flat. I'm really impressed in terms of the excellence of the management, that really did an outstanding performance in a declining traffic environment, managing in a very strong way, labor productivity and the G&A expenses. Rest of Europe made a good performance on the airports and in the railway station, while motorway sales are flat, and they are delivering a 7% up in the EBITDA, despite, you know, the difficult environment. Important also, the result that we achieved in the emerging market. We made a real promising deal in Vietnam in April, and we opened this JV for all the airports in the country. So we are working also for our future in an emerging area. Our travel retail business continued to show its strength. U.K. and the rest of the world airport is driving the performances. Our work is paying off also in minimizing the impact of the falling traffic in Spain. Spain, as you see, is softening, mostly due to Madrid, in which sales are down by 11%, when traffic is down by 15%. Mix is, of course, improving. At the same time, we see a noticeable result in Barcelona that is really becoming the biggest airport in sales in Europe these days. So in few words, a good quarter, making up for a poor first quarter and making a really decent first half of the year. Now, Alberto is gonna walk you through all the numbers. Thank you.
Good afternoon. The second quarter confirms the trend we saw in the first quarter, with improvement coming through in food and beverage, and our travel, the retail and duty-free business continuing to deliver. Now, before I take you through some of the details of our performance for the period, let me just quickly talk about the effect on our half year data, which come from the expected demerger of our travel retail and duty-free business. As you know, on June 6, our shareholder meeting has approved the demerger. Although this this demerger will become effective indicatively at the beginning of the last quarter, according to IFRS 5, we have to extract its contribution from the line-by-line consolidation and show it in a single line, both in the group income statement and in the balance sheet as discontinued operations. You may see the impact on slide 22 and 32 of this presentation. As a consequence, unless we're explicitly indicated, all the highlights of slide 4 and in general, all the data that we will present will show the contribution of the SNB operations only. Now let's go through our numbers by business as usual. Starting with food and beverage, as I have already said, the trend that we saw in the first quarter were fundamentally confirmed in the second quarter. The airport channel drove the performance in both North America and other European countries, which also enjoyed good results in railway stations. On the contrary, motorways still struggled, especially in Italy. The performance in North America, the improvement in the other European countries, and the hard work done in Italy to mitigate the drop in sales were reflected in the second quarter, which showed a solid improvement in EBITDA, both in absolute terms and in margins, notwithstanding sales slightly declining. Now, focusing on North America, the quarter confirmed that the outperformance at airport, with margins growing more than sales. In the second quarter, comparable sales increased by close to 9% at U.S. airports, compared to traffic increasing by 1.5%. We had good results both in terms of number of tickets that grew by over 3% and average ticket that grew by more than 5%. Total HMS host sales in airport were up 4% in the quarter, and the actual growth has been lower than the comparable one due to the exit and the reduction of commercial spaces at some locations, for example, in San Diego and Los Angeles. Sales on North American motorways were down by 3.5%, but this has been only due to our exit from the Maryland Turnpike. On a comparable basis, on the contrary, sales were up by more than 5%, with traffic down by 0.3% in April and May. In fact, it's quite different performance and development compared to what is happening in Europe and especially in Italy. In summary, sales in the second quarter in North America increased by 2.4%. The improvement in sales was reflected in improvement in both EBITDA, which grew by over 7%, and margin, which increased by 50 basis points compared to second quarter 2012, confirming the positive trend we saw in the first quarter. General and administrative expenses as a percentage of sales improved by 40 basis points. This result of the quarter would have been even stronger if we had not booked for $2.1 million one-off reorganizational charges. Moving to other European countries, in the second quarter, sales increased by over 3%, driven by airport and railway stations. This is proof of stronger resilience of these channels compared to motorways. The EBITDA result was even better in the second quarter. EBITDA increased by more than 18% period on period, also thanks to the fact that the second quarter 2012 was partially affected by some one-off charges. But even excluding the one-off from the second quarter 2012, the improvement would have been 6.5%, mainly thanks to the reduction in G&A. Italy continues to be a challenge. Sales were down by 5.7% in the second quarter, due to sales on motorways falling by 6.8% on a like-for-like basis, compared to declining traffic of 3.2% as of April 2013. Our performance below to traffic is, in our opinion, due to the continued tough economic climate that makes people spend less. Proof of this is the continuous shift toward lower price concepts, with customers consuming less at chow self-service and more at the snack bars. Today, customers are highly price sensitive, and in fact, we had relatively better sales at our market, which had benefited from promotional offers. Apart from motorways, other channels in Italy have shown better results. Sales in airport were down by 2.5%, but this is only because of some closures of point of sales. And in fact, comparable sales, on the other hand, have grown by 3.3%, with traffic falling 2.9% in April and May. Sales in railway stations improved by 9.4% in the quarter, thanks to the new openings within the network of Grandi Stazioni. The company is reacting to the unfavorable scenario in Italy, trying to limit the negative flow through of EBITDA on lost sales. The fall in EBITDA in the second quarter was much lower than the first quarter, and this is also because of the seasonality, which helped amortize the fixed cost on relatively higher sales than in the first quarter. But a lot of work has also been done by our Italian team to go beyond seasonality, working on indirect cost and G&A. And in fact, while the EBITDA was 10 million lower in first quarter of this year compared to last year, in the second quarter the decline of the EBITDA toward the same period of 2012 was limited to less than 1 million, with a flat margin of 4.8%. And this is including 1.7 incremental restructuring cost compared to the second quarter 2012. Now, looking to the next comment will be on the semi-annual numbers, not on focusing on the quarter. So looking to the next lines of the P&L, depreciation rose in the 6 months by more than 6% to 99 million euros, due to the investment carried out in North America in 2012. Interest charges decreased from 33 million euros to 25.8 million due to both lower debt and the lower average cost. The latter is mainly due to the unwind interest rate swaps, which terminated their P&L impact in the first quarter of 2013. Tax provision rose to over 10 million euro from less than 2 million in the last half of 2012, as we did not book deferred tax assets on losses of some European business countries, as we lack of visibility on the timing of their recovery. Moving to the cash flow generation of the SMB in the semester, we absorbed 95.8 million euro of cash in the first half of 2013, mainly as a consequence of the worsening in net working capital of 70 million, due to the fall in sales in Italy, the payment to the management of the long-term incentive plan for the 3 years ended December 2012, and the acquisition in Vietnam. As said before, according to IFRS 5, we report the net financial indebtedness of the travel, retail, and duty-free separately, in a single line within the net asset of the discontinued operations. As a consequence, the 933 million net debt opening balance as at end of December 2012 in our consolidated balance sheet refers to the food and beverage only. The debt as at June 30, 2013 is 815 million euro. The reduction in the balance is the balance of the mentioned absorption of cash from operations and the 220 million euros interim dividend received by Autogrill SPA from World Duty Free in June in connection with the demerger. Now, as I said before, although we don't consolidate line by line the travel retail numbers, we wanted to give the normal representation of what has happened in the travel retail, and so the next few lines refer to what is happening that you will find summarized in one line as the contribution to the net profit of the group for the travel retail and duty-free business. Now, moving to the travel retail and duty-free business, the business continues to perform with U.K. as a driving force and the rest of the world to support the growth. In the second quarter, we saw an acceleration in traffic in the U.K., up nearly 4% compared to 1.5% in the first quarter. As a result, sales in the second quarter grew by over 6%. This is a good basis for the summer season, as if you remember, last year we saw low passenger volumes in summer due to the Olympic Games in London. The U.K. performance was driven by Heathrow, with sales up by over 4%, significantly above the increase in traffic, thanks to the increase in spend per head. Gatwick, with sales growing by close to 12%, thanks to the positive impact of the World Through, opened in July 2012 at the South Terminal. Sales in the rest of the world increased by more than 10% compared to last year. In the area, we have seen many changes as we exited from the Atlanta and Orlando airports and won a new contract at Düsseldorf, Los Cabos, and Montego Bay in Jamaica. Even excluding the changes of perimeter, sales grew in the area by more than 5%. Best performers were Vancouver, where sales grew by close to 16%, and Mexico, which grew by more than 14%, driven by Russian passengers in Cancun. The strong performance in the U.K. and the rest of the world more than offset the fall in sales than we saw in Spain. In the second quarter, sales in Spain fell by around 5% on a total basis, and by 1.5% if we eliminate the change of perimeter related to our exit from the luxury shops in the Madrid airport. This reduction of 1.5% in sales compares with a fall of over 4% in traffic. The overperformance comes from the continued increase in spend per head. The key challenge in Spain is Madrid Barajas, where our sales were impacted by the fall in Spanish passengers, our exit from the luxury shops, and by the starting of the refurbishment of our point of sales at Terminal 1 and 2. Excluding the exit from the luxury shops, sales fell by 11.7% in the quarter, compared to traffic falling by 15%. Increase in capture and spend per head were the driver of this relative outperformance. On the other hand, Barcelona and Alicante performed very well. In the second quarter, sales in Barcelona were up 5.3% compared to a fall in traffic of over 3%. This result was in part thanks to a positive international passenger mix and the newly refurbished shop opening Terminal 2 at the beginning of June. In Alicante, the World Through allowed us to grow by more than 11%. In the second quarter of 2013, EBITDA was 4.5% lower than in 2012, close to 70 million euro. Closures and openings in the rest of the world, and especially the startup in Düsseldorf, together with the increase of rent of the contract awarded in Spain, which started to be effective since May 2013, were partially compensated by the improvement in terms of cost of goods sold, arising from the improved mix of both passenger destinations and products. Moving down in the comment to the first half 2013 data of the travel retail and duty-free, depreciation and amortization fell by more than 20%, as the award of the Spanish tenders allowed us to extend the useful life of the Spanish concession that was recorded up to 2018 and now has been extended to 2020, with a lower amortization of intangible of approximately 6 million euros per semester. Interest charges increased to 14.6 million from 11.2 million euro because of the accelerated depreciation of the residual upfront fees on the 2011 revolving credit facility, which was repaid and canceled with the new World Duty Free SAO facility signed and drawn last June. Taxes increased from 3.4 million to 9.3 million euro as a result of higher operating performance. Please keep in mind that the last year tax provision was lowered by the release of a previously booked deferred tax liability as a result of the reduction in U.K. corporate tax rate. The travel retail and duty-free continued to generate massive free cash flow. The operating net cash flow in the semester has amounted to almost 135 million euro, with a further increase compared to 103 million of the first half 2012. The strong cash flow generation has allowed our travel retail and duty-free business to cope with the significant disbursements connected with the award of the Spanish contract. In February, World Duty Free Group España paid 279 million to Aena as an advance payment of future rent to be deducted from the future payment of rent to the landlord during the life of the concessions. On the same date, World Duty Free Group España also provided Aena with 27.3 million euro deposit to guarantee general contractual obligations. Finally, World Duty Free Group SAO, the parent company of the whole travel retail, paid the 220 million interim dividend to Autogrill S.p.A. in connection with the demerger. The result of all this movement was an increase of the consolidated net financial indebtedness of the travel retail and duty-free business from 561 million to 935.9 million at the end of June 2013. Now, moving to what we expect in the second part of the year. As of week 29, our year-to-date weekly sales are almost flat in food and beverage and up by more than 3% in travel retail and duty-free. This year, the accounting effect of the demerger will make reading our performances a bit less intuitive. In fact, assuming the listing of World Duty Free S.p.A. shares as at October 1st, the 2013 consolidated financial data of Autogrill S.p.A. for 2013 will keep the travel retail and duty-free data as discontinued operation for 9 months, while the consolidated financial data of World Duty Free S.p.A. will consist of one quarter. Notwithstanding this, and to help the comparison with past performances, we provide you with our guidance of the two separated businesses for the full calendar year 2013. We expect that our food and beverage business, which in the guidance include the U.S. retail for the whole period of 12 months, will generate in 2013 sales above 4 billion euros, an EBITDA between 315 million and 325 million euros, and CapEx of around 180 million euros. The travel retail and duty-free business is expected to generate for the full year 2013 sales above 2 billion euros, an EBITDA between 250 million and 260 million euros, and CapEx of around 70 million euros. Finally, an update on where we are on our demerger process. As you know, our intention is to list World Duty Free S.p.A. in Milan at the beginning of October, and we are still on track for this timetable. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to our investor days for our two businesses. World Duty Free Investor Day will take place on September 9 at London Heathrow, while Autogrill S.p.A. Investor Day will take place on September 24 at Amsterdam Schiphol Airport. We look forward to welcoming you all there and to talk to you about our two businesses. Now, we are happy to take your questions on the second quarter results. Thank you.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by one. To cancel reservation, dial star followed by two. First question comes from Miss Oriana Bastianelli of Kairos. Miss Bastianelli, please.
Just one question from my side, and it's related to the gap of performance in terms of spend per pax in Heathrow versus the Spanish airport. If you can comment about the closing of the gap going forward, and which are the main actions that could be put in place in order to reduce the gap. Thanks.
If I haven't understood that, if there is a possibility to bridge the gap on Madrid, we don't think that is possible to bridge the gap. I think that the overperformance that we have done in the first half is already something very, very difficult to further improve. So I think that the main point to improve the performance in Madrid is related to the improvement of the airport and the traffic. Otherwise, we'll continue, hopefully, to overperform, but definitely Madrid will show lower. If the traffic continues as it is, Madrid will continue to show sales lower than previous year.
Mm-hmm.
If this was the question, because the line was not particularly clear, so maybe I misunderstood the question.
No, it's more general question related to the actual gap of performance in the spend per pax in the, let's call it, UK airports, but basically Heathrow, and the performance of the Spanish airport, which is independent from the traffic trend, is the spend per pax.
Yes, excuse me, I understood probably not correctly. No, I think that the difference there is stems from two elements. First, that if you remember our numbers in Spain in previous years, one of the problems we had in Spain was the fact that in general we were downperforming the traffic. So, in fact, we have in Spain learned a lot from UK in order to, in fact, capture and to increase the spend per head, and they've done a good job. So, these are the consequences. So, to some extent, you are comparing something that was already optimized to something that was not so optimized. And the second is also because while UK is in a more normal situation, so basically the composition of the traffic was not changed, that is not the case in Spain, especially in Madrid, where you have seen traffic, domestic traffic almost disappearing, and international traffic taking the place of the domestic ones. That is helping us to make a very important overperformance because the quality of the traffic is strongly improving compared to the past. The situation in UK is more stable. The traffic is there, is not different than what we had in the previous years. So you are comparing something that is already optimized with something that was not. And this is the reason of the overperformance, but very frankly speaking, we are very happy and proud about the performance we do in UK. So can do better, we will do, but we are already very satisfied of that.
Okay, thanks.
No question at the moment. I remind you that to register for your question, you can press star followed by one. Next question comes from Mr. Jaafar Mestari of J.P. Morgan. Mr. Mestari, please.
Hi, good evening. I just have one question on the sales breakdown by products in Italy, food and beverage, that you're showing on slide 28. It looks like from Q1 to Q2, the catering segment is the one that has improved the most. Can you maybe comment on the margin differences across segments? And is there better upside if catering continues to pick up? Is there a better margin segment in there?
Yeah, there is, of course, one of the reason is exactly because the catering has better margin than market. So if the situation continues like that, of course, there should be some help for us in the composition of the mix.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Bosco Ojeda from UBS. Mr. Ojeda, please.
Hi, good afternoon. I wanted to ask you about Brazil, whether you're still on the bidding process, and how do you see the situation over there? Thank you.
The situation is ongoing, so it's very fluid. The process is ongoing, and we don't have, at the moment, new information.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Miss Rebecca McClellan for Santander. Miss McClellan, please.
Good afternoon, everybody. I've got a couple of questions. Can you hear me?
Yes, not particularly clear. If you can speak a bit louder, probably. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Just in terms of the food and beverage EBITDA margin, where you managed to have a pretty good performance in the second quarter, given you said that part of it was thanks to the seasonality. Would you expect with similar sort of trends in Italy to be able to have a same sort of margin outlook for the second half?
Well, yes. In general, the seasonality is improving with the year, so the second is better than the first. The third is better than the second, and unfortunately, the fourth is more similar to the first. So in general, the strongest quarter for us is the third one, that is summertime. Of course, depending also on the weather, but this is a general comment. And so we expect, in general, we see our best margin for the year in the third quarter. But then, of course, the last quarter tend to be more similar to the first. That means that the first half and the second half are not that different.
Okay, great. And my second question is about Madrid and the luxury space. When will you know whether... When does that come up for tender, or when will you know whether you recover that space or not?
We don't have yet the outcome of the first run of this auction, so we don't know yet. Of course, we have made an offer, but we don't know yet. It is not so crucial for us, so it's not that important, but I think that is a bit too early, although we expect that it can be known in the next weeks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next question comes from Mr. Michael Heider of Bank M. Bellevue. Mr. Heider, please.
Yes, good afternoon. Actually, I think my question has already been answered, maybe it was relating to the same thing. My question was actually whether you can comment on the Brazilian terminal in São Paulo, Terminal 3 bidding process. But I guess that was the same question than two questions before, right? Or can you add any additional information to that? Whether you think where you stand there, what your chances are, and when do you think a decision will be made on this specific tender? Thanks.
No, as I said, it is ongoing. We are there, but the process is not that clear, so it is difficult just to make assessment about when it's going to be concluded.
Next question comes from Miss Elisa Corgi of Intermonte. Miss Corgi, please.
Yes, hi. Some questions on my side, please. Well, on Italy, can you share your outlook on the business in terms of both expected traffic and consumption trend ahead of the peak of seasonality? And then you spoke about G&A and cost containment on this side. Was that just ordinary discipline on costs? On your guidance, is your guidance including additional restructuring costs in second half? And then if you can share what's happening on the food cost side in the U.S. Thank you.
I start answering to the Italian questions. That is, in our forecast, we expect a trend in the second half with respect to traffic that is, in general, similar to what we have seen in the first. That is, the traffic negative in motorways around 3%-3.5%. And with respect to our performance, let's say that not that similar in terms of down performance compared to the traffic. So in general, say the second half will be not that different from the first half in terms of sales projections. In terms of cost cutting, it is, you are right, that is discipline. It is tremendously hard to do such a discipline because, you know, it's not the first year that we see this situation in Italy. So the more you go, the more difficult it is. But of course, we will continue to keep the situation very tight because we don't see at the moment a downturn. So we have to leave what we have, and we will continue to be very disciplined. With respect to the restructuring, further restructuring cost, we will have probably not that different to what we had in the first half of the first year of this year. On the contrary, I missed. Can you repeat the question about U.S.?
Sorry, perhaps a follow-up on your restructuring cost forecast for the second half. Does it mean that we have to expect another 5 million euros of restructuring costs in terms of EBITDA impact in second half?
No, I was speaking about Italy, not as a whole. So I think that you may include in this projection we gave you still maybe another million, million and a half of restructuring cost.
And that's Italy?
That's Italy.
And what about the group?
Well, the group, I think it has already done. I think that the big opportunity in U.S. is to catch the moment and not to cut the footprint we have because there we have sales and we have margins.
Great. Thank you. Well, my last question was about food cost inflation. And I was asking.
As you see, the main reason of the improvement in our margins in U.S. is, in fact, the improvement in the difference between sales and cost of goods sold. So already in the first half, you see that a significant portion of this improvement of 50, if I remember, 50 basis points is coming from the recovery that, in part, is due to the fact that some prices of raw material has peaked. But mainly, I would say, is because we have recovered the inflation of the past years on prices.
Okay. So food costs are still high compared to the last year, but you have recovered them through prices.
Yes, it is declining in relative terms. So in part it is because of increasing prices, in part because of some reduction in the cost.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. Very clear now.
Welcome.
No question at the moment. To ask more questions, please press star followed by one. I confirm there are no more questions.
Thank you very much. Have a nice evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.